visit patreon.com/homemakerschicpodcast and become a patron of the show. Our patrons are special people who are invested in our message as we rescue the art of homemaking from the daily grind. You will receive digital versions of each of our cookbooks, and fangirl patrons get special video access to each episode. Thank you so much to our patrons. We can't do it without you. Become a patron at patreon.com/homemakerschicpodcast. And now, let's rock this show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Homemaker Chic Podcast. I am Shay Elliott of the Elliott Homestead, joined by Angela Reed of Parisian Farm Girl. We are two homemakers here who meet with you every Monday to rescue the art of homemaking from the daily grind. And you know, we started this podcast 3 years ago, a week before the world shut down for COVID, which we didn't know was going to happen. And all these homemakers found themselves in their home, whether right. they liked it or not. And you know, it's interesting, 3 years out now, homemaking has had, I shouldn't say a resurgence because it's always been here,
but it's come to the surface of pop culture.
Of pop culture.
Like, yeah. It's actually a part of pop culture, which kind of annoys me. Now it's like, you know, in the reels and stuff, it's slightly cultish now at this point.
Yeah.
And I'm like a little like, hey, can we just stay subculture, please?
Yeah. Keep it off the chopping block.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Big time. That's so funny how things will do that. And, you know, I often find that when people decide, okay, I'm going to be a homemaker, I'm going to do this or that, all of a sudden they develop this like severe war cry. It's like, no, it's okay. Just, you don't have to be like, damn the man.
You don't have to be mad about it. We can just mop the floors.
You don't have to be mad about it. Yeah. You don't have to be angry. Like, see what I'm doing? I'm countercultural. Look at me go. You could just, yeah, just hang out. It's all good.
Just be chic. Homemaker chic. Not homemaker dogmatic. Homemaker tribal. Oh, just homemaker chic.
So I wrote this blog post. If you guys remember blogs,
remember those things?
I wrote a blog post last week about how as we age, we tend to sort of go into two different camps. One of those camps is that we do get dogmatic and we had time to develop thoughts and opinions and cynicism, frankly, for all the situations maybe that we've been in. Mm-hmm. And we find ourselves growing a little bit more rigid. It's like a muscle memory, right? You're just like, mm-hmm. oh, of course that would happen. I've seen this before, uh-huh. right? And you just get okay. entrenched in that cynicism, basically. The other camp is that you really can set yourself in a posture where your heart grows softer. And all of a sudden, as you age, commercials get sadder, weddings get happier.
Here we go again.
You know, yeah. yeah. Babies being born, like it's all so special. And your mm-hmm. heart softens to, you have more grace for people because, you know, mm-hmm. I've messed up. We've all messed
right.
up.
Right.
Right. And you sort of start to approach the world in just this softer posture. You know, we always talk about the heart posture here on the podcast. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it was basically on those two things. And it's, you can only stay ragey for so long. And so I think about all these women who are homemaking now to kind of stick it to the man. Like that burns out eventually. Mm-hmm. And you got to have your purpose for what you're doing rooted in something else, because you're going to run out of anger eventually.
I hope.
I hope you run out of anger.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do. I do. I don't think they're separate. I don't think you have to be one or the other, because, you know, I feel like at this stage of life, I've talked to you about this, like a little. So maybe some people are going to roll their eyes, but a little bit more humility. Like, I get it. People mess up, you know, like just a little bit more chill about everything, but then still really whatever, rigid or whatever you want to say about other things, but kind of learning, like super cliche, but like just the don't sweat the small stuff thing, you know, mm-hmm. just a little bit more chill.
Yeah. Yeah.
Should we mention that you had a birthday the other day?
Yes.
No, we didn't.
So okay. Yes, I did.
You're contemplating.
As
you get older, you become one of two people. Mm-hmm. There's the source of the contemplation. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for your sweet package. That's quite wonderful. Stu was like, man, she knows you.
And then I get home. I'm like, I forgot like three things. Like, what a loser.
Yeah, it was really sweet. It was a great birthday. Just great. Good. I love when birthdays fall on a Saturday. Mm-hmm. What a great day for a birthday.
Right.
And it was funny. I remember as a kid, do you remember how big birthstones used to be back in the '90s?
Yeah.
It was kind of a big deal. Mm-hmm. And mine was an emerald. May is an emerald. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, oh, I don't want an emerald. Look at like the amber and the whatever.
I don't. Does anybody? Okay. That's funny you say that. Does anybody like their birthstone? Like mine's
I do now,
which is beautiful, but I'm always like, gosh, I take a sapphire.
No, I see. I love.
An emerald.
You looked at the boards and you're like, oh, what about this one? What about
January gets the shaft and so does November.
What are they?
Well, January is pretty, but it's not of much value. A garnet.
Okay.
And November is topaz, I think.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just remember feeling really resentful as a kid that I had a May birthday because the flower, everybody has a flower,
mm-hmm.
birth flower. Mine was a lily of the valley, which we had a ton of as a
May
kid.
Day.
And I was just like, whatever, a lily of the valley. Like some people get roses. And now I love lily of the valley. It all comes around. Just be patient, y'all. It all comes around. So it was, I spent the day out gardening. Which I know that doesn't sound like most people's ideal birthday, but to just go out in what I call ugly garden.
Yeah, right.
Means you ugly.
I did that yesterday. I had like dirt boogers. And that's a good day when you have dirt boogers at the end of the day.
Yeah, most of the time you're like not wearing makeup.
My skin was like coated in like a fine coat of dust. And sweat, like it was gritty.
Yeah.
You got the ankle marks, the black ankle marks.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. Like, that's a good day.
Sweat marks.
The big boob sweat mark.
Huge boob sweat
marks. And where you're like, I don't think I can make dinner before showering. That would be gross. So I was like, I'm going to go like
defunct. That's my favorite day is when you get up, have a slow morning, have coffee, meander outside, and then you get to Ugly Garden until like 2:30 or 3 when you kind of run out of steam naturally.
Yeah.
And then you come in, have a shower, pour a glass of wine, and then make a nice mm-hmm. dinner. It's the best day.
And if you took the time to clean up your ugly gardening, then you can take a turn and go enjoy all your
exactly. That's exactly stuff. What you do. Like while we're grilling meat or something, I'm like, oh, look what I just did. Look at that. Doesn't that look nice? Yeah. I mean,
That's what you did on your birthday.
Yes. So I gardened and then we went to the Anjou Bakery, which is a local bakery here. And they just happened to have my very favorite pastry that they make. This is like a kind of a boutique bakery. So they just make what they want. Like there's no schedule or rhyme or reason. You never know what's going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And they make this puff pastry, vanilla custard, poached pear tart thing. That's just... They rarely have it and they had it. So it was just wonderful. And then my friend Amber, shout out to Amber. She has 5 kids and she spent her whole Saturday making me dinner and cleaning her house. And Audrey and Amber are sisters. Audrey made me this beautiful birthday cake that was like really complicated. And they threw me a little dinner party. So our family That's went fabulous. Over there and we had just the most wonderful dinner with friends. So it was just really special. Not every birthday gets to be like that. We've all had the birthdays where there's like the piano lessons or like the kids program or whatever, doctor's appointment. So it was really special.
Cool. Your dress was pretty. I swear you sent two. Were there two cakes in the picture?
Yeah, they were one layer.
Okay.
But they were like this drenched rosemary, olive oil, almond cake.
Ooh.
It was just delicious.
Okay.
Homemade vanilla ice cream. Audrey's a great cake maker.
Cool.
So it's always fun to see what dessert she comes up with. But it was just fun. And, you know, okay, this might segue into a different conversation, but okay. Angela sent me this image of two ladies. Did we talk about this last week? No, this was recent. Sometimes I confuse our personal conversations with podcast conversations. Sure. So a couple of days ago, Angela sent me this image of two women, older women in Paris. They were dressed in like a khaki color from head to toe, but they had, I mean, it was trench coats and leather slouch bags and bangle bracelets and hats.
They were killing it.
They were killing it. And they were old,
killing it.
Like 90s old, wrinkled, so wrinkled. And I just thought, yeah, baby, that is how I'm going to age. So when you're young and your skin is tight, you can get away with ugly gardening. And let me wear my, you know, trashy t-shirt and my cutoff jeans and this sort of thing. But as you age, you do have to work a little harder to stay stylish. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
You ever thought about this?
Yeah.
No, it does genuinely, younger women. It just takes more effort because the package changes. So you have to adapt, okay? And those goods you have right now at 21, you're not going to have those in the same way when you're 37. They change. Anyway, so she sends me this image of these older women, and they're just killing it. They look fabulous. And I think we have to maybe get to this point as women, especially women in our culture, where we just say, you know what? This is my face.
Right?
This is what my skin looks like. This is what my hands look like. This is what my thighs look like. And that doesn't mean we give up.
Right.
But it means that we accept the realities of aging.
It's It's, I don't know if aging's just going to go away. Like, what's going to happen? I mean, think about today. We talked about this last, we did talk about something like this last week, because we talked about Marilyn at 36. And I said she was aged like somebody in the 60s at 36. 36-year-olds don't look like that today. Like, what is it going to be like? How long ago was that? In another 60 years, you know?
But do they not look like that because of like Botox? Or do they not look like that because like most people don't smoke anymore?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of smoke and modern skincare and probably Botox and like bleaching. I don't know. I mean, I don't know, but it's for sure there's a difference. Mm-hmm. I guess I'm saying like today there's this look. Okay. There's like everybody sort of looks like, and I'm like a Disney princess or something. Like there's a look, there's an eyebrow shape, there's an eyeshadow technique, there's like actually like facial trends. Like, I think the trend over the last few years has been like a more cherubic, youthful looking face. And now people are getting techniques to make them more angular again. Like,
I made the mistake of
like clicking on a few things, and now my Instagram feed is just full of like when it suggests what you look at for the day, it's like all these before and afters. And I don't know if I clicked on like a Jennifer Lopez, this is real, this isn't picture, but it opened up Pandora's box on Instagram.
Well, one's probably photoshopped and one's probably not.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying, I didn't say that. That's what I intended to say. I was like, there's this altered reality. Like I'm watching where they like click a button and it shrinks their waist and makes their booty bigger and just all these things that people do to go on social media. And then people start thinking, well, that's like normal. Mm-hmm. The big eyed, heavy lash.
Huge eyelashes.
Yeah. Like that Disney princess look that.
Okay, yes.
People are making themselves look. They look like, what's the Japanese art form?
Anime.
Yeah. It's like that's starting to be like what people think people look like.
Yes.
You know, and so, and then when you're in the culture, I mean, I look in the mirror, I got like blood vessels and like stuff. I'm like, okay, this is what's happening. Like, yep. What you see isn't real. Happening. This is what's happening.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we did talk about this before, but I do, when you're in the culture, it's hard to get out of it. And so when you have the opportunity to go somewhere else where it's different, the culture is actually different and mm-hmm. significantly uninfluenced by that culture.
Mm-hmm.
It's so incredibly refreshing. I know I've talked about this ad nauseum, but like years ago when I was in Italy, I pulled aside this American who lived in Italy and I said, what? How do the older women look so good? Because they have wrinkles. They've got gray mm-hmm. hair.
Mm-hmm.
They've got age spots. They've got wrinkled hands and veiny arms. Like, but they look so good.
Mm-hmm.
And she told me it was because they wore really good eyewear. You know, a lot of people get glasses as they age. They had really mm-hmm. nice glasses. They were stylish. They weren't sloppy. Mm-hmm. And they always ironed their clothes because they didn't have dryers.
Mm-hmm.
And so their clothes, their jeans, and their, you know, just regular button-up blouses were pressed. And yep. they look great.
Yep.
And it was so refreshing to see. And that's how I felt when I saw that picture of the women in Paris. Because I thought, you don't have to look young to look good. Those right. are two different goals. We think of youth as good.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way to look really good is to stay looking youthful.
Right.
And that's not true. We have, right. but it takes a different skill set to look good because you look put together and you look stylish. That's a completely different skill.
For sure.
And I don't have it. I want it. If anyone has any tips to share with me, I am accepting. Right now I'm wearing a Cafe du Monde sweatshirt. That is my gardening sweatshirt and cutoff jeans. So lest you think I'm getting on a high horse.
A Guinness t-shirt. A dumpy big old Guinness t-shirt and an apron. There you go. How's that for stylish? Hold on. I'm going to text Tommy Lee and make sure she got my bread out of the oven. Trying to smell it.
Usually if you can, here's a little tip, people. If you can smell it, usually that means it's really close to being done. Yeah. Or done.
Or done.
Or done,
as it were.
Slightly charred on the edges.
I did it again yesterday. Like I broiled something and just burned the snot out of it. I should not be allowed to use a broiler.
Yep.
So it's not just about walking away. Even in the kitchen, I apparently completely disconnect from the fact that I have something under the broiler. Mm-hmm. It's like the underwear and the jeans. My family just shakes their head. They're like, every time.
Again with the underwear and the jeans.
Yep. Yep. Oh. Last week at the antique store. Yep.
What is that chunk of something behind my knee?
Yep.
It's always behind the knee is where it gets stuck.
No. And the irony is I actually even looked at them. I'm like, sweet. You didn't leave your underwear and your jeans last night.
You're funny.
Man,
you're funny.
It was a good laugh.
Let's give a shout out to season whatever this is sponsor Tubes
16. Yeah,
speaking of aging, I am wearing Tubes bronzer, Tubes blush, Tubes highlighter, Tubes face primer after using Tubes face soap and face oil and body oil and tallow balm. And I don't know if I have told you guys about this, but they have this tinted lip balm. Patrons, you can see this. It comes in this little skinny white tube, and these are the ingredients: grass-fed tallow, organic olive oil, organic beeswax, and mica, which is where it has this really slight, beautiful pink color. It looks dark, but it's really subtle. And you know when you put chapstick on and all of a sudden you look like an albino baby and you're like, that's not a good look, but I need chapstick. Like, I don't want lipstick. I want chapstick. Mm-hmm. This is what I keep on hand for that because it just gives you a little bit of womanly color to your lips, mm-hmm. which is really nice, but not so much that you have to concentrate on putting it on, like for real. So this is what I carry outside with me when I garden because I like to have something on my lips, something that's really nourishing. And I mean, Tubes & Co., they knock it out of the park in terms of the cleanliness of their ingredients. Mm-hmm. You cannot get cleaner. There are not cleaner products on the market. So if you're wanting to stock your makeup bag or stock your shower, your face care, and really kind of make sure that what you're putting on your skin, which is absorbed by your skin, by the way, doesn't have any harmful ingredients, visit Tubes & Co., T-O-U-P-S, and co.com, and use the code HOMEMAKER10 because you can get 10% off your whole purchase there for being a Homemaker Chic listener. I actually went to the nail salon yesterday, mm-hmm. and I was wearing red wine lipstick, and I had two women stop me and ask me what lip color I was wearing.
There's the thing about reds. I get asked all the time, like how to pick a red. And that one is such a good one. It's like a blue classic, like 1940s red. It's so perfect. The mm-hmm. color is so perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've noticed it wears off really well too. You know, sometimes with reds, you have to be careful because when they start to wear off, you need to go into the bathroom and like scrub your lips and reapply. And this one doesn't give you that terrible dry lipped burning feeling of some mm-hmm. really harsh reds. Mm-hmm. It still has super clean ingredients. So it's a great one. If you're not sure what red to wear or how to wear lipstick, my two from Tubes that I wear every day are Red Wine and Blushing Bride, which is kind of more of just this neutral mauve, mm-hmm. nice lip color.
Right.
Stuart has the most beautifully colored lips. You can't really see him a ton because of his beard and his mustache. Mm-hmm. But every time he shaves, I'm like, what kind of man gets lips that color?
Right.
Mine are like the same color as my mm-hmm. skin.
Mine are too. They're so pale.
They're so pale. His are like, he looks like he has a lip liner on. It's incredible.
Not cool.
For the rest of us, tubesandco.com.
Right.
Coupon code HOMEMAKER10. Honestly, good it's grief. Like little kids and how they get these huge, beautiful eyelashes.
Right.
And we just don't get those.
Mine are long. They're blonde, though.
Blonde.
So they have some pigment at the base and then they just disappear.
Yeah.
Like literally they disappear. So it's kind of annoying. Have you ever dyed your eyelashes?
No, I haven't.
Have you ever dyed your eyebrows or your eyebrows dark? I dye my eyebrows.
I have dyed my eyebrows in the past when I used mm-hmm. to dye my hair dark. But when I let it go natural, my eyebrows are just this color.
Yeah.
I do add a little bit of, I use the Tubes & Co. Eyebrow pencil.
Just
fill in a couple spots and brush them out, you know.
For sure.
Nice.
Yeah.
Sorry, cough button.
That's okay.
We were sent a quote from the Pilgrim's Inn by a listener, Shayna. And I'm going to share it with you. Lest you think being a homemaker is all about makeup and aprons. It's not. I don't know how you say this name. L-U-C-I-L-L-A. How would you pronounce that? Lucia? Must be Lucia. Right?
L-L-A?
Lucia? L-U-C-I-L-L-A. Lucia?
My brain doesn't work.
I'm going to say Lucia.
Okay.
Okay. So this is from Pilgrim's Inn by Elizabeth Gouge.
Okay.
Sent to us by Shayna.
So who's Lucia?
Oh, okay. I'm going to tell you. This is just a quote from a book.
Okay.
Lucia knew always, and Nadine knew in her more domesticated moments, that it was homemaking that mattered. Every home was a brick in the great wall of decent living that men erected over and over again as a bulwark against the perpetual flooding in of evil. But women made the bricks. And the durability of each civilization depended on their quality. And it was no good weakening oneself for the brick making by thinking too much about the flood.
Holy cow.
Isn't that great?
What is that from?
Pilgrim's Inn, which
I thought you were saying
no idea.
I thought you were saying that was like the Instagram feed or something. I'm sorry.
No. That I believe that's okay. It's either a book or an article. I'm not sure. She didn't send it. I don't think she explained that when she sent it. But I think it's such a great illustration of what our work in our homes is as homemakers. You know, when we see a lot of the issues that we're seeing in our culture,
mm-hmm.
a lot of that comes back to the home. The majority of it comes mm-hmm. back to the home. And, you know, that I think that is kind of the heart of what we're trying to get at from this podcast. It's not, if you want to be a homemaker, you need to be married. You need to go have a ton of children, or you need to only wear clothes that are fashioned in prairie style, or like maybe all these like stereotypical ideas that people have about homemaking.
Mm.
Not really what we're talking about at all. You know, and this idea of molding and shaping the bricks. And mm-hmm. guess what brick making is? Laborsome, tiresome, dirty. Repetitive.
Right? Yep.
Repetitive.
Why don't you just read it again? Okay. Can you read it again?
Yes. Lucia knew always, and Nadine knew in her more domesticated moments, that it was homemaking that mattered. Every home was a brick in the great wall of decent living that men erected over and over again as a bulwark against the perpetual flooding in of evil. But women made the bricks, and the durability of each civilization depended on their quality, and it was no good weakening oneself for the brick making by thinking too much about the flood. Let me give you another one that she also sent to me that kind of, I posted this one on Instagram and it actually roused some controversy, but so I'm going to read it to you and see what you think. Okay. With this, hold in mind this idea of you're actually weakening your brick making skills by thinking too much about the flood. Okay. Mm-hmm. You with me?
Yep.
Accustom yourself to unreasonableness and injustice. Abide in peace in the presence of God, who sees all these evils more clearly than you do and who permits them. Be content with doing with calmness the little that depends on yourself, and let all else be to you as if it were not.
Yeah, I've shared that.
Some people do not like that.
Some people don't like that.
That's Francois Fenelon, which I'm sure is how you pronounce his name. Yes. Okay. People don't like this for a variety of reasons.
Mm.
You go.
I don't know. You can't put me on the spot like
okay,
that.
Okay. First up,
big,
they don't
those are
like
big thoughts. The second, I mean, this people want to be in control. They don't want to hear that bad things are allowed to happen. I mean, there's a whole lot there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think in our, okay, you're right. This might have been a bit heavy for this morning. So.
with no prep, maybe. I don't even have the quotes in front of me, for heaven's sake.
I'll text them to you real fast. Yes, I think people in our souls, we want justice. And I don't think that's a bad thing. You know, we don't want to see things. We don't want to see injustices. That's good. That's a mm-hmm. good thing. However, is Angela going to stop the injustices of the world?
No. But we also live in this culture that's like encourages people to be the savior. It's I mean, and obviously some people are called and will make a difference all throughout history's timeline.
Sure.
There's people that have made a difference. And in that same timeline are a million homemakers who made a way for that difference to be made just by taking care of the little that depends on themselves, as the quote says.
Right. Where culture might interpret that as defeating, like, what do you mean?
Mm-hmm.
We have to fight against the injustices. Yes, in your sphere of influence, which is pretty small.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't mean it's insignificant. Like, that's that whole brick building thing that the previous quote was talking about. If I can have that influence in my sphere of influence over friends or my husband or my children or with my siblings or parents or in my church body or my local community, like, that's where that brick building happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have to build this base for this wall. And I think that what's interpreted as defeat here is actually a great encouragement to the homemaker, because we don't have to go about our days sullen by this all the terrible stuff we see in the world, which is everywhere.
Right. Everywhere.
Yeah. And I think every homemaker can relate to that, where you see something on your news feed, mm-hmm. or, which, by the way, is this even real anymore? I saw yesterday that somebody AI'd a picture of the Pentagon being blown up.
Yeah, that happened yesterday.
Whatever that market is, went down to $500 million.
Like, it was, it was bad.
It was like an instant tank. People mm-hmm. were like freaking out. And it was just this fake image.
Unbelievable. I mean, it's like War of the Worlds.
It is something from a sci-fi.
Yeah, it's crazy.
From a sci-fi movie.
And that's, again, like I've said before, I think that kind of stuff is too many emotional fluctuations for any person, let alone someone spinning the thousands of plates that get spun every day in the home.
Right.
To just like keep injecting that drama into your heart, even throughout the day, checking your phone, you know, I don't like it.
Here's a new word, anamoya, which means the nostalgia for a time you've never lived in. Visit Anamoya Jewels on Instagram or at anamoyajewels.com for vintage and estate jewelry from the Victorian era, the Art Nouveau movement, and more. And use the coupon code HOMEMAKERCHIC at checkout for 10% off. It's spring, so why not treat yourself to a beautiful piece of estate jewelry? New items are added daily over on Instagram, so you are sure to find something you love. Maybe even the perfect piece for this upcoming Mother's Day. Anamoya Jewels and their beautiful estate pieces are new to the Homemaker Chic podcast sponsor family, so visit them on Insta, make them feel welcome. Installment payments are available and 10% off any treasure you find with the coupon code Homemaker Chic at checkout. Visit Anamoya Jewels, that's A-N-E-M-O-I-A.
If you'd like to get premium organic cotton heirloom quality sheets at 20% off, we want to encourage you to visit AmericanBlossomLinens.com/HomemakerChic20. Homemaker Chic listeners know that the linens Angela and I both use in our homes are American Blossom linens, and we invite you to do the same. This is a wonderful and simple way to set the mood of a clean, thoughtful, intentionally put together home and bedroom. These dye-free sheets and linens are a beautiful way to dress your bed in something sustainable, high quality, and really beautiful. Yes, American Blossom Linens is a small business. They're American grown and made. And yes, they're made with organic cotton and sewn with a smooth, soft weave and made to last. Whether you're looking for crisp linen sheets that fit snugly around the corners of your mattress, or plush and soft towels for your bathroom, blankets, or even duvet covers, you can shop all of American Blossom Linen's available products at AmericanBlossomLinens.com/HomemakerChic20. I mean, I agree. And we just finished our homeschool co-op for the year. And I thought to myself, okay, you know, you have this next quarter, basically, this next quarter of the year. Who would Shay be if, like, she had a very set and specific way of intaking information and a really, really filtered
filter? Yeah.
You know?
Yes, that's an excellent question.
I don't think that means you have to cut yourself off. I don't want to cut myself off. I enjoy listening to things and I enjoy listening to music and I enjoy being a part of these conversations. But like, what could that next quarter look like? And who would Shay be at the end of that? If XYZ, I don't know. I haven't solved the problem yet.
Right, right. What do you think that filter would look like?
I think
might look like.
I think for Christians specifically, there can be this great opportunity slash temptation to listen to really great podcasts and listen to really great books about Christian living, Christian ideas. And that's like studying the reflection of the sun in the pond instead of just studying the sun. So the temptation can be to spend a lot more time reading Christian books than reading the Bible. And so for me, that would look like maybe eliminating some more of those things and spending that time instead just reading the thing itself. That would probably be the biggest thing. I think scrolling, I think you can participate in the conversation, posting on Instagram, which I do for the Elliott Homestead, sharing things on stories. I don't think there's nothing wrong with this.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that you need to just be in the bath for an hour and a half. scroll. What's going on? Oh, nothing. I'll just keep going. So I think you can still participate, respond, and engage without the mindlessness of it. And I think that's probably the biggest thing.
Mindlessness is a really big thing, because I think it's such a habitual hit, if you will. Right. mean, I know there's chemicals going on when you're on social media. There's got to be some brain chemicals happening there. But it's mindless, like smoking. It's just like blindly reaching. It's actually so much more fun, like with intention. I'm going to research XYZ or whatever, but the mindless leaves you icky. It's really interesting. The last two times I've gone to France, I get home and I don't have any desire to be on my phone. It's super weird. I don't know if it's just that I've spent the last week or so just exposing myself to real tangible beauty and my wheels are spinning so much or what, but it's almost like a disdain. It felt like a burden. Like, do I have to check this? I don't want to know right now. I want to stay in this creative, like a real space. It's easy to be on social media in the name of like what, calling it creativity when you're just searching for inspiration, but it's mindless. It's that mindlessness, like you said. I think that's the real hang up. Shay, I don't remember what I said. Did I say about reaching for cigarettes or something?
You already said that before.
Holy crap. All right.
She froze, guys. She froze. So I was telling her, can you re-say what you just said? Because I don't actually know. I mean, yeah, that's exactly.
I was talking about like you're doing it like in the name of getting inspiration, maybe for creativity. Let's use that as an example. And then you just end up like coveting, scrolling. I wonder how many people actually implement the ideas or take a stab at them. You know, that was like Pinterest. It was like ideas. Right. But like just for ideas sake, or you're going to actually take one a few times a year and learn something new, try something new, hone a craft. Like actually, it's the mindlessness of it that's scary, because it's easy to look at the end of the day and say, I didn't have time to do X, Y, Z, but like, much like countertop, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it is weird. Like an
people
impulse.
Grew, it's an people lived impulse. Without that.
Yeah. We lived without that.
Yeah.
We lived without that. You know, you had to go to the bathroom. You got Reader's Digest, baby.
That's right.
Read the back of that Glad bottle. See what ingredients are in that tropical breeze scent.
Glade.
Glade.
Did you say Glad?
Yes, Glade.
Sorry.
But you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And because of that, guess what? Like the human mind, it moved slower. It just did. But now we live in this like just buzz of anxiety. Mm-hmm. But it's basically like we've asked our brains to run sprints.
Mm-hmm.
With never ending. Just run a sprint. You're exposed to this. And you don't have time to think. You don't have time to research. What homemaker has the space, capacity, knowledge to understand the depths of political policy and who actually is signing what and what actually said what and what was earmarked on and what was cut out? I only know of one, and that's Amber. And that's because that's what she actually did for a living. So she genuinely has a framework for understanding things that I don't have.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the capacity of most homemakers. So then when she goes online and she's asked to have opinions about this and this and this and this, how can she possibly have an educated opinion on them, on everything that's ever existed in the whole mm-hmm. world? You know, it's like that meme that came out during COVID that was like, and then, of course, during the Ukrainian war, that was like, I will now be switching from being a public health virologist expert to an expert on, you know,
yeah,
European politics and the history of Russia. Like, no. And not to get all weird, but like now,
just do it.
Why not? We follow no rules on this podcast. Because of our podcast and because there's so much of your and mine's voices, people can literally use technology to make our voices say anything that they want.
Mm-hmm.
That is not an invitation to do that, by the way. Please do not do that. But it's like that whole, they did a 3-hour podcast with Joe Rogan and Steve Jobs, and they never met.
Mm-hmm. No, that's just creepy.
It's insane.
That's just creepy. I don't know. Yeah. It gives me
the willies. Why are you biting your tongue?
I don't want anything to do with it. I just don't like it at all. And I wish, you know, they all got together 8 weeks ago or whatever and said, stop, like, let's put a moratorium on this, pause while we figure out how impressive this is going to be on our world. Like, we need to slow down. And they're not.
Did that happen?
Yeah. Elon Musk and a bunch of other like 6 guys, I think. I don't remember. Yeah, they said slow down.
But they're not, so that doesn't really matter.
No.
Yeah, I mean, you're seeing the implications of this already, like with the writer's strike in Hollywood. There's so many applicable pieces of this in our culture. And I think that's kind of what this quote is getting at, is that are you going to walk through your day with the burden of AI on your shoulders? What homemaker can possibly care about what's for dinner
mm-hmm.
when she's thinking about carrying the burden of an unforeseen, crazy sci-fi future on her shoulders? You will cease to function and to do your good work when you are so anxious about something you have no control over.
Mm-hmm.
So like when you start to feel that way.
My favorite is just doing with calmness the little that depends on yourself. I don't find that those last few words offensive at all.
Or defeating? Actually, you feel defeating?
No, it actually brings my little world down to like a simplicity.
Yeah.
It's little, it's cleaning the kitchen. It's little, like it brings, it's encouraging as far as bringing like the monumental aspect of facing down the day. What do I have to do today? You know?
Right. You don't have to change the world today. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
That's for sure. Yeah. And,
then what's the other Lewis quote, about the A-bomb?
Which is I've said that quote so many times,
but
it's literally the best. Do you want me to say it again?
Yeah. Can you find it fast? I don't have my phone.
I do
because
I just sent
desk.
It to my friend. I sent it to my friend Dusty. And so
usually I'm always like pulling stuff up while we're.
Yeah, I can pull it up really fast.
There it is. It's back there.
I sent it. It's. I'm going to give it to you in the full context. Okay. Normally I just do the little quip, but you know what? We do what we want here. Okay. So this is from
sorry if I seem a little lost then too. Like you keep freezing.
Oh, sorry.
Then you're there again. And
I'm like, respond.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm
to what
so,
I just said,
this,
please.
So friends, if this episode seems a little off,
sorry,
like having a phone conversation, getting every third word. I don't know. I have, I don't know.
Okay. So this was originally read by C.S. Lewis. It was a broadcast. And so if it sounds like that, it doesn't
sound
like
a lot of stuff
word,
you read,
why.
Even right. like Mere Christianity and stuff is like lectures.
Right. They're like little radio lectures. So this is written by C.S. Lewis in the time of World War II. So that's kind of the context here.
Mm-hmm.
All right. In one way, we think a great deal too much about the atomic bomb. How are we to live in an atomic age? I am tempted to reply, why, as you would have lived in the 16th century when the plague visited London almost every year, or as you would have lived in a Viking age when raiders from Scandinavia might land and cut your throat any night, or indeed, as you already are living in an age of cancer, an age of syphilis, an age of paralysis, an age of air raids, an age of railway accidents, an age of motor accidents. In other words, do not let us begin by exaggerating the novelty of our situation. Believe me, dear sir and madam, you and all whom you love were already sentenced to death before the atomic bomb was invented, and quite a high percentage of us were going to die in unpleasant ways. We had, indeed, one very great advantage over our ancestors, anesthetics. But we have that still. It is perfectly ridiculous to go about whimpering and drawing long faces because the scientists have added one more chance of painful and premature death to a world which was already bristled with such chances and in which death itself was not a chance at all, but a certainty. This is the first point made. And the first action to be taken is to pull ourselves together. If we are all going to be destroyed by an atomic bomb, let that bomb, when it comes, find us doing sensible and human things, praying, working, teaching, reading, listening to music, bathing the children, playing tennis, chatting to our friends over a pint and a game of darts, not huddled together like frightened sheep and thinking about bombs. They might break our bodies. A microbe can do that, but they need not dominate our minds.
That's so good.
That's the best.
I love that. I love that whole context. And I mean, obviously a country under like just enormous pressure at the time.
Oh, yeah.
He spoke
being
those words.
Yeah. Daily.
Right. See, that just comes back to the simplicity of it. The little, doing the little things with calmness.
Yeah. And if you want to be worried, I'm going to go full on here. If you want to be worried about your soul. Mm. Be worried about eternity. Be worried about who made you, why you were made, why you are here. Like if you want to, if you're feeling genuinely unsettled, go to the place where those are settled. I mean, C.S. Lewis is only able to give this account because of his Christian worldview.
Right.
Because if this is all there is and this is all we have, then you would go about life with a much more aggressive panic of like, well, I need to, if I just vaporize after this.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be here for as long as I can, or I want to enjoy as many things as I can. And all of a sudden, these, what we see as fairly small things become hugely significant if this is all there is. Right. And so, Tim Keller died
right,
last
right,
week.
Last week.
And I, of course, this is a, yeah, a sad thing. He was a pastor in New York, Manhattan for a long time, has an incredible body of work. But, you know, it is said from his family that some of his last words were like, you know, essentially, I am sad for you. The Lord will be faithful in seeing you through this loss. But like Paul says, to die is gain mm-hmm. for the Christian. There's nothing, there's no fear beyond the veil. It is a gain. It is a restoration of what should have always been in the first place. And so, you know, not to go full podcast preacher on you, but it's important to remember, like, if you mm-hmm. want to be unsettled, if your soul feels unsettled, it's not because of AI. It's not because the atomic bomb. It's not because the war in Russia and Ukraine. It's because we're wrestling in our souls with what it means to be human and why we're here and how this can happen and what kind of world we live in and why is it this way and who allows it to be this way and will it be restored and will there be peace and will all these trials, will they go away? Like, that's what we're actually wrestling with. Mm-hmm. And there's an answer to those questions. You should ask those questions.
Right.
And go seek answers. You know? That's yeah. it.
So true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing that that written almost 100 years ago is as relevant? I mean, of course, replace atomic bomb mm-hmm. with any number of.
Well, that's, and I like how he, you know, puts it in perspective. Like everybody thinks they're living in the end times. Everybody thinks like this is the worst it's ever been. And you look back and each generation, each, like, everybody has had to deal with something. And like he's saying, like, death is not escapable.
No.
But that's not really, you know, we don't really focus too much on that in this culture.
Yeah. It's true. I mean, Stu has said to me often, like, the Christian life, it really is preparing you for death.
Mm.
That's how the story goes.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it ends. That's what you're preparing for.
Right.
It's not so you can live your best life now.
It isn't.
Imagine that. Yeah. Tell that to all the apostles who were, you know, dipped in oil and stoned to death.
Like, when I hear that, like, from Christians, I'm like, so what were the apostles doing wrong then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You think it's bad now? They used to dip people in oil, in boiling oil. So, you know. Anyway,
I was going to say, you're like, you're killing me, Smalls.
I'm sorry. I go through these fluxes where I, like, sometimes it's all like happy-go-lucky and that's fine. And sometimes, mm-hmm. like, when you're wrestling with something big. So, by the way, that beautiful image of those two women that I was talking about at the beginning of the podcast,
it was fake.
It was fake. Yeah. And when I looked back on it, I thought, oh yeah, I can tell that's fake now.
No. Yeah.
But it bothered me because it feels like a manipulation mm-hmm. saying, look at these sweet Parisian women and look how they age and blah, 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 blah. But they're fake.
Mm-hmm.
They could have been wearing bikinis. I don't know. Could have been anything. It's not real.
I don't understand the purpose. Just to why making it? Why even particular image?
I know. Well, I don't know about that image, but
I mean, there's enough images.
I was talking to my friend Tim, who's my photography mentor, and he has mm-hmm. been a professional photographer for over 50 years, traveled the world. He has worked on this really high-end outdoor clothing company on their magazine for as long as he can remember.
Mm-hmm.
This year, they decided, maybe I said this already, this year they decided to do the entire catalog with AI-generated images. They were able to do their magazine for 1/1000th of the cost of sending all these photographers to these elaborate South American countries and, you know, paying the models.
The models.
So why is money I can get a perfect image exactly how I want it, tweaked to the client's standards. Oh, you want the sunset darker pink? What, you want this person a little bit skinnier? Like bada bing, bada boom. And so it's money. It's always money.
You want to talk about sorting out your worldview and all your big questions? I mean, do it now, because we're all just going to get less and less and less significant.
Humans don't matter.
As far as if you feel like you don't matter now, just wait for it. Man.
Yeah, you take away people's purpose.
Right?
Take away their value. You know, we did this with the homemakers big time. You're not valuable as a homemaker. What cultural value does that have? How does that better the human race? Mm-hmm. How does that contribute to the growth of society? What a stupid thing to say. But that's what we were told for decades.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. And then there was need during, you know, on our end, well, and in Great Britain during the war, like the women were needed in factories and they filled a need for the country. But I wish I had known we were going to talk about this. I have like a book of Laura Ingalls essays and newspaper articles. And she does talk about that during the war. She's like, look, I get it that this has to happen. She was very independent and strong. And she's like, women are capable of this. You know, they're working at Lockheed Martin in California or wherever. She goes, but like, if they stay, that's great. They're capable, but don't think it's not going to have an impact.
Of course.
In the home. Because then who's going to fill that job? She's like, I mean, she wrote that a long time ago, obviously. And I appreciate her to see like both sides of the story. I know women love to work and they should be able to do something, but there is a cost. And like to say that the homemaker doesn't have value and that isn't work or that's not a valid career path. It's so sad that for such a huge, I mean, I know people still believe that to some extent, some people do, but there was a big portion of like our country's history where that was just the lie that was believed, to the point where then there's, you know, it's a cultural kind of joke in that we start a podcast and say, but like, we're not wearing the denim jumpers. You know, we're not that this cliche that culture has set up as the homemaker that wasn't really ever the case.
Right. It's multifaceted. I think about women because we do hear from women a lot. More, I wish we heard from more of these types of women, but they're not listening to Homemaker Chic podcast, where they say, oh, I just couldn't do that. I'd get bored, or I'm not good at it, or I don't like to cook, or I don't like to whatever. I couldn't be around my kid for that many hours a day, or like that wouldn't be a good thing. You know, we hear all these fluffy reasons why the work of the home is invaluable to a particular or unvaluable to a particular person. And my response is always, okay, well, you're an engineer or you're whatever, the CEO or that, whatever it is you do. How many years did it take you to get good at that? Because my guess is you probably kind of had a tendency. You sort of fostered it. Maybe you got a job when you were a teenager, sort of supporting it. And then maybe you went to college and maybe you got a degree in marketing or in this. And then guess what? And you kind of started out at the lower rungs and you worked there for a while. And before you know it, you're 10 or 15 years into your career. Why do you think you're good at it? Because you've put in 10 or 15 years worth of effort and energy. Right. I mean, as natural as homemaking comes to a woman, especially a mother who actually physically has to carry the baby, who actually has to physically nurse the baby and take care of this child. It's a learned skill, y'all. Like it's, you don't just start out knowing how to do all the things.
Yeah, there's that it's a learned skill, and there's the like the continuation of that, or not really the flip side, is that it gets to stay exciting because there's always something to get better at. There's always another skill to learn. There's always an improvement that can be made. I mean, look at that She system that you talked about a few weeks ago. I mean, people are hot to try.
Revived that's She.
That's like a game changer for so many people.
It's fun.
But yeah, it's, I've said that before. Like if you, for the, I'm not going to put everyone in a box and say everyone has to love homemaking. But I think there's a huge portion of people that don't like it because they're not good at it.
Right.
And it's just like you said, it's, if it's the art of homemaking, art is studied.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Art is labored at, it's worked at,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so who was the painter? It was Cezanne, I believe, who went up to art school and saw Monet in Paris at the time and literally turned around and went home.
Mm-hmm.
And was like, holy cow. He good.
He good.
He good. And I can't hang. And then he goes back and he actually puts the work in and he becomes Cezanne. Like,
right.
Had he just not, what a sad world that would be.
Mm-hmm.
Without his efforts and without his work. And just because somebody is better. And this is where I do think technology just has such a severe bite. Because if you're studying homemaking in your community, maybe your neighbors, your mom, your aunt, your grandma, like people that you know, experiences you've had in their home, maybe suppers you've had at their house, birthday parties you've gone to, however mm-hmm. you've been exposed to this homemaking.
Mm-hmm.
It actually doesn't take that much for you to, oh, I see this. I'd like to acquire that skill or that gift, or I like the way that they did this.
Mm-hmm.
Now I shall take that to my home and apply it and learn it and get good at it. And you can do that very relatively quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But then you go to Instagram and you're like, you know what? I like homemaking. I want to be a homemaker. And then you get a fire hose of the most elaborate, developed, curated homemaker stuff
mm-hmm.
from the entire world.
Right.
Which is like the NFL.
Yeah.
Of homemaking, right?
Did we talk about this the other day on the phone about, you know, you're in your own community that you can work hard and become the best of something. But then what we've all done is expose ourselves to the community of the world.
I was talking about the Liver King documentary on body image.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't remember if that was in the garden.
I think it was on the podcast. Yeah. Okay. I'm pretty sure it was on last week's episode where, you've exposed yourself to the world. Like you can be strong and you can feel good in your skin. And hey, I've been working out. Look, I'm getting mm-hmm. some muscles. Then you expose yourself to the muscly world community
mm-hmm.
and your beans.
Right.
And so it's kind of like what you were just talking about. Like what we're being told over and over and over again is like, yeah, you're not really valuable.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have the biggest muscles. Right.
Right.
You don't dress like a prairie woman. Like pick your, you know, social threshold, whatever it is.
Oh, when I was in Paris, I was at my favorite shop. Okay. It's called Dika, D-I-K-A. And it's on Rennes, R-E-N-N-E-S. If you're headed to Paris, people ask me all the time, where should I go? I love that store, clothing store. I'm talking to the lady about fashions because these are just beautiful clothes, right? And I said, we have this problem in America where we have all these like long, dumpy floral dresses. And I'm telling her in French, I'm like, it's called prairie muffin. She goes, yeah, you can blame the Italians for that.
Interesting. They dress like prairie. I've never seen an Italian dress like that.
She said the long floral. She's like, it's this country Italian. She's like trying to explain it to me like that. That's how it's
funny
coming in, whether she's right or not. But it made me laugh.
Oh, man. Yeah. I mean, that's fine. If you want to dress like that, go for it.
Okay. You talked about, I want to go back to this, about being and learning from homemakers in your own community. And then I'm going to just match that up with like learning something off of Instagram.
Okay.
There's something about being in someone's home and picking up a pointer that geeks me out. I told you, it's like I went to my aunt's and she had like the little basket of everything that I might need for the night. Tissue, toothpaste, toothbrush, water, Keurig, you know? And like, I took that. I'm like, okay, I would want somebody that came to my house to not have to say, oh, I forgot my toothbrush. Like, can you help me out?
Or do you have a towel?
Do you have a towel? Exactly. And then, you know, Rosemary always puts a little, there's a platter, boom, there's a platter with food on it, you know, on the countertop just for help yourself. There's something powerful about, for me, about like seeing something in someone's home and like just going home and just like you said, adopting that. But the Instagram can feel like you said, a fire hose. However, I wanted to tell you this. I don't know if you, I think this got shared with both of us. I did learn something on Instagram yesterday that gave me major warm fuzzies. And I can't, I feel like I do it sometimes, but I can't wait to do it now, like all the time. And she, this woman said she learned something. She was 52. She said she learned something about being a friend at 52. She was having a party and somebody had to leave early. And the person was really disappointed they had to leave early. So she thought, I'm going to walk her out to her car so she can feel like she has a few more minutes of the party. She walked her out, hugged her. Thank you for coming. And the friend was so touched. I can't believe you walked me out to my car. She said she just had a countenance of feeling special. So this woman that's making this Instagram reel gets this idea. This is going to be my new thing. I'm going to walk everyone out. I'm going to walk my husband out in the morning. I'm going to walk my kids out to their cars when they get, when they go to school. Every guest that comes over, I'm going to walk them out. And she said it's been just a total game changer and just can tell that people feel loved, and it's her new thing. And I wanted to share that with our Homemaker Chic audience, because sometimes it is just one idea that pushes you to the next level in your art of homemaking, or pushes you into the next level in like a particular interest, whether it's hospitality or cooking or gardening. Sometimes it's just one thing. And that was actually my one thing for the week. It jazzed me.
And you know what? It's free.
It was free. Yeah.
It doesn't cost anything. It's just genuinely like a little developed skill.
Little.
Hello, lovely homemakers. Are you ready to style your home like a pro? Then it's time to join the Old World Design Society. You can do that by visiting oldworld.parisianfarmgirl.com for your spring home design inspiration. Join my Old World Design Society now for as little as $5 a month. You will have access to one design class a month, a private online forum full of professional designers and amateur home stylists just like yourself. You can learn from them, become friends with them, and you can choose to include a print or digital magazine with your society membership and watch your stylist skills grow. Become a member today by visiting oldworld.parisianfarmgirl.com or simply head over to the Homemaker Chic Instagram page and hit that red circle that says design. It's time to learn how to elevate your space and improve your knowledge of antiques and history and style your home like a pro. Visit oldworld.parisianfarmgirl.com. The spring magazine is shipping now and it's gorgeous, and classes are ready for you to join us.
Hey friends, Shay here. If you've been needing a bit more encouragement and inspiration when it comes to cooking delicious food, I want to personally invite you right now to join the Elliott Homestead cooking community. Visit cook.theelliotthomestead.com to get started. For the past 4.5 years, I've encouraged women in the kitchens with whole food recipes and instructional cooking videos. As a cooking community member, you'll get 5 farm fresh inspired recipes each month created from my farm kitchen and delivered straight to you. I'll also send you an instructional cooking video to go along with each recipe so that you can learn new skills and begin to enjoy new dishes and flavors on your own table. Together, we'll cook dishes like burrata salad with prosciutto and lemon, baguettes, rigatoni with potato and peas, ricotta donuts with homemade lemon curd, green vegetable minestrone, and so much more. The cooking community is a place of inspiration and community where you can visit with other home cooks on our circle group or simply enjoy the bountiful recipes that you'll find each month in your mailbox or inbox. Visit cook.theelliotthomestead.com right now, choose the membership package that fits your needs best, and let's get cooking.
My parents still do that. When we leave their house, they come stand out on their porch and they wait for us to all get situated and buckled and turn around. And then we drive up and they just stand there and wave.
Yeah. There's some people that like we automatically do it till we go out. Like you said, you kind of stand there and say the repeated goodbyes, but she's like adopted this policy of everyone. And for the mundane everyday things too.
Yeah.
Cute.
The mundane everyday things. That's where the money is, man. Mm-hmm. That is where it is. That's where the culture of your home is built.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's not what we want to hear, because the one-off really elaborate birthday parties are actually easier than being faithful in the everyday stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But that's so much more important to the work of our homes. You know, it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's the stuff that goes on behind closed doors. When no one is filming, and no one is watching, you know, that is where it happens. And the good news is that's also the easiest stuff to change. It's small.
Mm-hmm.
Possible. Yeah. When I was at the nail salon recently, I have this really sweet salon in my town that I just love, and they play, Melody Gardot, and they play Madeleine Peyrou, and they play like this Frenchy jazzy music that I love. But I don't even remember when this happened. I think it was years ago when I read your blog. Years and years and years ago. It was a long time ago. If I remember correctly, you mentioned somebody. It might have been Madeleine Peyrou. And I thought, who is this? So I looked her up on Pandora, because that's what I listened to at the time. And there was a Madeleine Peyrou station. Peyrou. How do you say your last name? Peyrou.
Yeah.
Anyway. And so when I was learning how to be a homemaker in our, like when Stu and I were newlyweds and we just had Georgia, this was when I was reading Angela's blog. You were blogging a lot back then. And I would look at your images or things you shared about like DIY projects, your home, whatever it was. I would put on Madeleine Peyrou and I would be like, okay, like here we go. We're gonna do this homemaking thing, folded laundry, you know, supper on the table, whatever it is, small things. But because of that, I'm like, it was like Pavlov's dogs. Like I hear Madeleine Peyrou and I'm like, let's do this.
Right.
Excuse me. Like, yeah, okay, let's wipe off the counters. Let's light the candle. Let's put out fresh tea towels. Like, because I've homemade to her music for so many years. Yeah, you give me like Django Reinhardt or Melody Garrett or whatever. Like, it's on. So I'm in the nail salon, like having to hold perfectly still, you know? And I'm like, let's go. Like, I come home from the salon so jacked.
Oh, that's great. It's kitchen music, to be sure.
It's the best.
Yeah.
At least for me, for our home, like it fosters, that will be the sound of our home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the music that you play, it becomes your kids' soundtrack.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, when outside grilling music, it's Marcus King. It's the Allman Brothers. Like it's this Southern rocky blues. And like when you hear it, you're like, let's grill some meat.
Yeah.
You know, you hear Melody Garrett, you're like, all right, time to iron, baby. Like, oh, I love it. And so if you're needing like I just say that as encouragement. If you're needing a little something, something right now, put on some music, like find your soundtrack, you know, and it's like listening to certain music when you work out and you hear that song and your body's like, all right.
Yeah. No, that's so true. It's like a muscle memory thing. And
it is.
I definitely have a soundtrack in this house for sure.
So, yeah.
Oh, there's mom and her jazz again.
Yeah. What's your homemaking
Soundtrack?
My gosh,
his name is like totally escaping me.
Sydney?
No, he's on this list though. Sydney Bechet is just one of my favorites. He's on this list. But who's the guy that played House, the doctor?
He's a musician?
Yeah, like Laurie? Really fun.
Darn, isn't his name Laurie? I'll look it
Hugh
up.
Hugh Laurie or something
Hugh
like
Laurie?
That? Yeah, Hugh Lowry.
He is a musician? What yeah. kind of music does he?
Like jazz. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, like
Hugh Lowry.
Yeah, like St. James Infirmary. Yeah,
I would say Hugh Laurie. That's how you spell my mom's name. L-A-U-R-I-E.
Yeah, no, I love that. Is that the little album where he's like Saint Linus? James or what's his name at yeah. the piano?
Okay,
he's big.
You've never...
Yeah, that album,
never exposed
I love.
This to me. St. James's Infirmary.
Mm-hmm. Which okay. is an old song. So he's, you know, these are old jazz covers that he's doing, but...
Okay.
Yeah.
This is
yeah.
going to be fun. Set the tone.
So that's
y'all.
Got,
set the
that's
tone.
Like got my like melody. He like, it's like him, it's okay. Sydney, it's Ella. And then there's like more modern like Earl and Melody Garrett and stuff like that.
So. Yeah. Yeah.
And postmodern jukebox and stuff like that.
Yeah. Postmodern jukebox is fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. I have a really incredible, I spent like 2 years curating my liked songs list on mm-hmm. Spotify. Mm-hmm. It's pretty baller. I do say so myself. And it becomes the soundtrack. Like if you walk away from this episode thinking anything.
We only touched on 72 really important things.
Keep it small. Okay. Work within your homes, work within the confines of what you have and set the tone with your heart posture,
mm-hmm.
with your music, whatever it is. Like, you get this little bubble. You get this wonderful little space to exist and matter mm-hmm. and have influence and make beautiful. And that is enough. That's sufficient.
Yes.
The end.
Drop the mic if it wasn't sitting on your desk.
I already knocked it over twice.
So before we close out, I want to thank American Blossom Linens for being a sponsor of the show since day one. AmericanBlossomLinens.com. Use the coupon code HOMEMAKERCHIC20 for 20% off. It's sheets day. So I'm hoping my mic wasn't picking up my machine because it was like dun, 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 on the spin cycle. And then the sheets are going out in the wind. So I'm excited about that. If you never have, grab yourself some beautiful washcloths, beach towels. They have big beach sheets that I love. And that's American Blossom Linens. And special thanks for the book, ladies. You know what I'm talking about. I got a special gift from Janet's daughter, and it's a book on entertaining, and I'm quite giddy.
Oh,
quite giddy to read it. Thank you so much for that.
Sweet. Okay, ladies, have an awesome week. We'll be back here with you next Monday.
Yes, we will.
Carry on. Cheers.